In the name of Jesus, amen. If the ascension is the coronation of Jesus, then you and I are at a decided disadvantage, because monarchies have gone out of fashion for a long time now. And yet, in our text, we eavesdrop on the conversation between Jesus and Caesar's governor. And what are they talking about? Kings and kingdoms. Under Pilate's interrogation, Jesus admits that he is a king, a real king, and he has an actual kingdom. It's just that his kingdom and kingship are unlike anything else the world has ever seen. He controls no earthly real estate. He commands no earthly armies. And yet all who trust in him constitute a kingdom that lasts forever, that extends throughout all time and space. All of this Jesus implied when he said, "My kingdom is not from this world." And that's an understatement. An unworldly kingdom is this kingdom of Jesus, if ever there was one. His rule is from everlasting to everlasting, and yet his throne is a cross, and his crown is of thorns. And this kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus, it's not like it works in this world of ours. Our earthly rulers lord it over their subjects, and their great men exercise authority over them. But not so among those who bear the name of Christ. "Whoever would be great among you," says Jesus, "must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave." And that, of course, makes Jesus the top dog, because he is indeed servant of all and slave of all in his death. He first of all gave up his glory and majesty that he might become servant of all and bear the sins of all in his own body, emptying himself of all his rightful majesty as God and becoming man that he might bear all the sins of the world in himself. And then, being found in fashion as a man, he lowered himself all the way to death, even the death of the cross. That, ladies and gentlemen, is servanthood par excellence. That's what makes our King so great, that he is servant and slave of the whole world, really, in his death. That's the kind of king he is. And to be sure, that's the kind of kingdom he has, too. A kingdom unlike any worldly kingdom, a kingdom of grace. You and I, as servants and subjects in that kingdom, deserve nothing but wrath and punishment. And yet he has given the likes of us a kingdom. And he has made us, the whole motley lot of us, to be priests, to serve his God and Father in that kingdom. And that's what it's about. Service in Jesus' name. 2/3 of you are about to leave this place, some for a year, some for good. Some of you will be pastors, others vicars and deaconess interns. But all of you, every last one of you, leaves this place as priests and citizens of a heavenly kingdom, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto, but with all the duties as well. "If anyone would come after me," says Jesus, "let him take up his cross and follow me." And you can be sure that there are crosses waiting for you. But they are light, born in the peace and joy of him who laid down his life for us all. If you serve this king who emptied himself and made himself to be nothing, the servant of all, then you will not seek the pedestal of prestige or the limelight of success, but you will take up the lowly servant's role, that is, the privilege of loving and serving him who first loved you, as you love and serve the least of those who are his own. And what do all those people need? They need the truth. For this reason, Jesus said to Pilate, I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. This is the very essence of his kingship and his kingdom, the truth of his word. Everyone who is of the truth, says Jesus, hears my voice. And that pretty well sums up the nature of Christ's kingdom and the mission of its church. That people everywhere, men, women, and children, might hear the voice of Jesus. That they therefore might come to know the truth, and so to know the way and the life as well. In case you haven't noticed it, truth is in very short supply in the world we live in. Ours is a world that seems to have lost its way, captivated and enthralled with death instead of life. What is truth is not merely Pilate's quest, but it well summarizes the predicament of a world that has lost its mooring, empty and adrift in an endless pursuit of self-fulfillment and fleeting pleasure, perpetually in motion, but never at rest, always seeking, but never finding, endlessly traveling, but never getting anywhere. What is truth? Is the very motto of our age. And you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, to a world that has lost its anchor. It is the privilege of those who are called to preach, to bring the good news of the city with foundations, whose maker and builder is God. Smack dab in the middle of the rubble of this world, to announce the glad tidings of a kingdom that stands forever and ever. And every Christian, all those whom Jesus has ransomed with his own blood and made to be a kingdom, priests to serve his God and Father, he sends forth into a world that has lost its heart to wrap them up in the love which first was with the Father before the world began, to love them in Jesus' name and stead, in deed and in truth. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Just as surely as Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, ascended up on high in glory, and now lives and rules forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.